we've learned anything from these past couple of years, my fellow Americans, it's that personal medical freedom and liberty are in crisis. America Out Loud Pulse brings together the top experts in healthcare-related fields to keep you a beat ahead. You see this report coming out of Philadelphia where they're going to restore the indoor mask mandate. And then you see thousands rallying in Los Angeles, that's right, to oppose these mandates, these overly restrictive mandates. It's kind of a balancing game. The way I look at it is the bureaucrats and the operatives, they push too hard, too much. And finally, the people will rise and push back. And we're seeing that because people are very, very upset in Philadelphia as well. Let me give you a sense of the game plan today, what we hope to accomplish. We've got vaccine injury is a big deal we'll talk about today. Long COVID, I mean, that's the big story now moving forward, I think, is going to be long COVID as we get into this post-COVID world, more or less. A lot of questions on the nasal rinse, that sort of thing. A lot of great questions today as well. Some new monoclonal antibodies to talk about. There is a lot happening in this next hour to get into. And welcome to America Out Loud Pulse. And it's Malcolm Out Loud here along with Dr. Peter McCullough.
It's great to be on the other side of the microphone. Certainly a busy news week.
It is indeed. Let's start with that rally in Los Angeles. So this is thousands of people, including truckers, firefighters, all kinds of officials are gathering outside the city hall there protesting the mandates, the vaccination mandates and all of that. This is the county and the city have come out and they're saying it's because of the spread, of course, the new subvariants, the BA2 and all of that. Of course, the Los Angeles County, Dr. McCullough, still has this heavily mandated practice of forcing vaccines on people. This is kind of a breaking point, I think, where people even in California are rising and saying that's enough.
It's true. You couldn't see a more diverse array of responses to the virus. If you go all the way over to China in Shanghai, Chinese healthcare workers are wearing hazmat suits and tackling other people and trying to shove nasal swabs up their nose. And then you have other parts of the world where, you know, a COVID recovered patient hands out some medication to somebody sick with COVID, nobody wearing masks. So you couldn't get, a more diverse array of responses to the virus. Quickly, we know the virus is not spread on clothes or contact, so there's no need for a hazmat suit. We know that when someone's COVID recovered, they have protection against severe outcomes. One, a COVID recovered patient can easily take care of a COVID patient. And wearing a mask, maybe in the acute setting, in the care of someone at home, that's fine. Wearing a mask for a sick patient to go out and get a test, or if we take somebody down to x-ray, that's fine. Otherwise, no masks. So the array of responses is extraordinary. I watched a lot of the film from the DTM, Defeat the Mandates rally in LA. Terrific speakers. Boy, they had Naomi Wolf and Adele Bigtree, Richard Urso, Ryan Cole, a lot of the key doctors. I wasn't there. I was presenting at another scientific meeting in Tucson. The crowd, again, appeared to be discerning, very respectful, no counter protest. No one was advocating for vaccines.
This is on top of you see what's going on in Philadelphia now. This was a shock to a lot of people. They have restored the indoor mask mandate in Philadelphia. And now what they're thinking is, I'm hearing a lot of experts say that there are going to be other cities to follow suit. They actually expect even New York could begin to do that again, which has been devastated in more ways than we can actually cover in this program. New York, I don't know that it'll ever be the same in our lifetimes again with what's taken place there from the bureaucracy in the lockdowns and mandates. There has devastated the economy and people, their businesses forever. So the confirmed 19 cases, when they rise more than 50% in 10 days, that's the threshold in Philadelphia, in which the city guidelines call for the people to wear masks indoors. The health commissioner says that out there. She says, let me just read this to you, Dr. McCullough. She says, the health commissioner there, if we fail to act now, knowing that every previous wave of infections has been followed by a wave of hospitalizations and then a wave of deaths, it will be too late for many of our residents. This is what the health commissioner said. This is our chance to get ahead of the pandemic, to put our mask on until we have more information about the severity of this new variant. But as I understand it, this new variant is pretty well equates to the common cold sort of thing. I mean, is this clearly isn't necessary in Philadelphia, right?
Well, it's a subvariant. So now in the CDC Nowcast system, the BA2 subvariant of Omicron. And remember, Omicron had the most number of mutations in the spike protein as well as across the viral proteome. And so because it had so many mutations, if there's a change in the mutation configuration, enough of a change is considered a subvariant. It's still in the Omicron family. If someone's had Omicron, they're going to be immune to BA1, BA2, XE, XD, XF, any new subvariant that could come along. And it is like the common cold. We will have waves of colds, flus, other respiratory illnesses, but Omicron has broken the linkage to hospitalization and death. This is very important. We had a rise in Omicron around Christmas time, January. It was 5 to 10 times taller than any other outbreak that we've had, and we didn't see the hospitalizations and deaths that were concordant with that. And now some studies, including one by Liu Wend and colleagues from California, show basically, essentially no risk of hospitalization and death with Omicron. Very easily handle it at home. We have more treatments at home. And we need to focus on the small number of high-risk people sick as opposed to all the people in the population. Remember, a large number of people now are, you know, have previously had COVID, so we don't have to worry about them.
Yeah. What you said just there is the what should have been our strategy when this pandemic started, I would say to you, Dr. McCullough, what you just said there, is focusing on those people and not the whole mass population, which is what I think they got wrong in the very beginning, which served this entire thing wrong and made the pandemic that much more egregious to folks. For sure. So we'll see. I mean, there's a lot more to come out of this, clearly. Let me get into, I want to read this. Well, it's more of a comment, but it's interesting. I'd like you to opine on this. This is from Alex from New York City. Now listen to what he says there, because the plight of what Alex puts in this message, a lot of people listening right now can relate to this. So he's a New York City employee, okay? He said, you have said, Dr. McCullough, on various programs that people need to stand up and fight against these mandates being imposed on us. I agree that we must, but to what degree depends on each individual situation. You state it's not worth our jobs, our homes, career. However, that's easier said than done. In my situation, I'm the sole provider in my home with 4 children and a wife who depend on me totally. I have and continue to fight legally with a religious exemption that has yet to be approved. I know that given recent circumstances, it is likely that I would be denied. Leaving my job and making a stand is not as simplistic as it may seem to others. I think determining which vaccine is best or at the least following a protocol to detox it out is a fair and legitimate question for people in my situation. Interesting. He wraps it up this way. The statement to fight and make a stand is a relative one, although I believe more people need to fight and not settle for the status quo. This is a tough decision for one who depends on a job, not only for themselves, but for those who depend on that individual totally. Now, stop right there. Stop, pause. Here, let me say this, Dr. McCullough. That's a well-worded statement right there from Alex from New York City. And I wanted to open it up there. A lot of people can relate to what he says there. That's a hell of a predicament to be in, isn't it?
It's something to consider in terms of wartime. So there could be somebody in Ukraine who says, you know, I have a job and I have a good situation and I'm not going to stand up or step out. And, you know, the Russian army is just marching down the street, just wiping out everything. One has to think about it this way. We are all sole providers of our families. We all have responsibilities, okay? And none of us have the leisure of taking risks. None of us do. However, if nobody takes any risks and no one speaks out and no one fights and no one changes jobs to another job that doesn't require a mandate or moving from one state to another, then this situation gets steamrolled. And that once one starts to accept injections of any type every 6 months, there appears to be no end to this. And so that is the proposition. Now, fortunately, in the lowest unemployment in modern day history, an abundance of jobs, a variation in states in terms of mandates, massive variation in companies who either require mandates or don't, one has to exercise choices. If the choice is to say, okay, I'm going to sacrifice my health and take one of these shots in order to work for 6 months, then you have to be prepared to take the consequences of those shots. Mm-hmm. What I don't want to hear is someone say, listen, I didn't think through all this through. I took a shot. Now I have heart inflammation. Doctor, save me. Mm-hmm. Or doctor, I took a shot and I'm regretful. Get it out of my body. I can't do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is well said, brother. Well said. It's to me, Dr. McCullough, it's a sad state of affairs. It really, really breaks the heart that people are put in this position to begin with. And that really is the underlying message, is you've got to get other people in these positions and offices locally and federally to make better decisions for we the people. That really is the message here. I really appreciated Alex's message from New York City. I just felt for you all out there was an interesting place just to show all sides of the conversation. That's all we're trying to do here. OK, all right. I'm not saying there's a one quick fix for any of this. But it is a tough decision. We understand that. So, Catherine.
Malcolm, let me say one more thing. Everybody who's speaking, who's making these types of queries out there, in general, is thinking their job is the very last job. They view themselves as unemployable. Mm-hmm. They view themselves as being out on the street as beggars within 2 days after losing their job. And everybody pits it in that situation. Well, let me tell you what. Anybody who's been around in the early 70s saw big time recessions and saw people lose their jobs massively. I tell you, I was in a family. My dad's a factory worker, Buffalo, New York. He loses the job. And we go about 9 months until all the money's gone. And then we pack up the station wagon and we ramble down to Texas. Yeah. And my dad gets a job and we survive. Listen, we're not talking about these Dust Bowl times right now. We are not desperate as a country. Everybody needs to start figuring out a personal plan. If your personal plan is to take these injections, be prepared to suffer the health consequences.
Wow. You know, I wish we could just focus on that point right there and you and I have a real heartfelt conversation, because I love what you just said. And I'll say this back and then we'll move on. It's that there are often times in our lives, friends, where when it seems the lowest possible point or the lowest denominator in our lives, or as Dr. McCullough just expresses, but it's really not always that way. There are many of these things that happen in our lives happen for a purpose that will actually take us to greener pastures, believe it or not. And sometimes it pushes us off that point in life that allows us to make decisions that we wouldn't otherwise make. So I've learned this in my own life. There's always a good silver lining. Sometimes it's even a golden lining for some decision you thought was the worst in your life that actually turns out being phenomenal. I'm just saying. So there's the optimist side of me very clearly, but I appreciate everything we're talking about here. Catherine says, first, I want to thank you and Dr. McCullough from the bottom of my heart for these Q&As. You're doing such an amazing service to your fellow Americans and the world. Thank you, Catherine. I'm a mother of three young daughters. I made the decision to not give my children the COVID shot, nor did I take it when I was pregnant or while I'm nursing. The shot is constantly pushed on me through my work, friends, families. I refuse to budge or waver on that decision. I never used to be vaccine hesitant and have previously given my children all of the required vaccines. However, I am now suffering from crippling fear and anxiety of the other childhood vaccinations. I see the media, TV commercials, government, and most importantly, doctors lie repeatedly that the COVID shot is safe and effective. But I know this is not to be true. If they are lying to us about this, what else are they lying about? Here's the question. Dr. McCullough, does Dr. McCullough still recommend the regular vaccine schedule to children? I begin to shake thinking about the vaccines I have given my kids previously and have been holding off on any new ones they're supposed to take because I've lost faith in the medical community and don't know who or what to trust. I sincerely hope you're able to give some guidance, as you are the only other medical expert I feel I can trust anymore. Now, Mr. Dr. McCullough, There you go, brother. There's a great message right there. But you see how the faith has been rattled? You see how that is? And it's done a lot of damage out there, hasn't it?
You know, I haven't lost trust in the tried and true vaccines, the childhood vaccine schedule. I was just asked that question the other day by one of my neighbors with a newborn. You know, do you now distrust the measles, mumps, rubella, and the schedule of vaccines? No, I don't. I think they're perfectly fine. If I was a parent, I would ask for the package inserts to make sure you're getting what is said that is being administered. And be very clear that you do not accept the COVID-19 vaccines. You don't think they're safe enough for your child. And I think that's the way to phrase it. Say, listen, the COVID-19 vaccines are not safe enough for me or my child. Don't make broad statements about anybody else. Say it. It's about you. Now, any doctor who is promoting the COVID-19 vaccines as safe and effective, I think that doctor needs to be handed the OpenVAERS data report. Tell the doctor that the COVID-19 vaccine you do not feel is safe enough for you and your children, and have the doctor reevaluate their stance on the COVID-19 vaccine. Because if it's not safe enough for you, that's what matters most, not the doctor trying to push the vaccine on you and your children, using your children and your family as human shields. That's unethical, it's inappropriate, and it should be firmly rejected.
There you go. I mean, it's perfectly said there. So, all right, I want to get into now some specific questions on vaccine injury. This one's from Barb. She says, my husband now has two blood clots in his leg. Is there any way I can tell if they are caused by the vax?
One telltale sign is to measure a D-dimer test, D-D-I-M-E-R. That can be a signal that, in fact, is related to the COVID-19 vaccine. I typically order D-dimer, high-sensitivity C-reactive protein, and then I order the antibodies to the spike protein in the nucleocapsid, so a comprehensive COVID-19 antibody panel. And I try to piece it together, but bilateral blood clots shortly after the vaccine almost certainly is due to the vaccine.
Okay, this one's from Ben. My 14-year-old sister is having seizures, passing out, and is unable to unclench her fist for long periods of time after getting the Pfizer vaccine. They actually sent photos of her hands. I'm concerned about blood clotting after reading information. Do you have recommendations on this at all?
I think it's a vaccine neurologic injury syndrome, so clearly needs a neurologist, an MRI, other additional tests. It sounds serious.
Yeah, it's just the kind of thing with the vaccine, back to the earlier questions that came up there. So there's a price to pay for this, sadly. Joni says, my son is 40 years old, fully vaccinated with a third booster recently. He currently is sick with a cough and feeling nausea. The soles of his feet are swollen and has red blotches. He claims that they are quite painful. He went to the doctor and the doctor told him it was caused by inflammation from trying to fight off whatever it is that he is sick with. His COVID test came back inconclusive. I'm concerned that he has blood clots and that the doctor is not considering the adverse reactions to the COVID shots. Can you please shed some light on what is happening to his swollen and red blotchy feet? I'm a fan of all of the work you both are doing there. What do you say to Joni?
In cases like this, painful rashes, sicknesses, there needs to be comprehensive blood testing. Because the vaccines cause blood clots, there need to be ultrasound examinations of the legs looking for blood clots. And then having the doctor piece it together. There are multiple fatal vaccine injury syndromes that present like this, including multi-inflammatory systemic syndrome and vaccine-induced thrombocytopenic purpura.
Okay. Erica says, I'm hoping you may point me in the right direction on post-vaccination injuries. Since having these shots and seeing the lies of the medical community, having been a part of it, I'm extremely skeptical. I had two shots of Moderna in March of last year. I had had severe bleeding with clots ever since. My primary referred me to my GYN and nothing came about that visit either. After the second shot, I had a huge softball size and large lymph under my armpit that lasted for a month before going down. I've been dealing with a lack of energy, especially around my menstrual cycle. I also have random joint pains and migraines, and I also have memory issue, brain fog almost. My husband also suffered from neurological issues, numbness in his hands and fingers, heart palpitations, chest tightness. He's only 41 and had the Pfizer vaccine mandated because he works for the government. I work in healthcare and we are in Maryland. And they end with this, Dr. McCullough. I recently saw Dr. Corey, who you had on your show recently, I believe, speaking about treating post-vaccine patients. And for the first time, I felt hopeful that we may be able to feel normal again someday. If you could suggest a provider route, I'd be forever grateful.
So for providers, go to the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons, aapsonline.org. Download the list of treating physicians. It's also available on truthforhealth.org. Remember, people in their 40s don't need the vaccine because COVID is like a mild cold. And so the only way to stay healthy is to not take the vaccine. This idea of taking the vaccine and then suffering all the health consequences and spending all your time, energy, and money trying to treat the health consequences is something that I think other listeners need to avoid. So this couple needs help. They're deep into trouble now after the vaccines, and they're going to have to find the appropriate doctor to help them and take no more of these shots.
This is why I structured those first couple of questions up front for people to understand the gravity of what we're talking about. And now you see these things. And this is why this is a perfect thing to discuss today with everybody. Two more on this point here. Hannah says, my father is vaccine injured. He had his booster in January 22 and has been having loud sounds in his head since then. I'm afraid for him. I am unvaccinated and tried to warn others to no avail. I'm doing my best to help those around me. Your guidance and time is greatly appreciated. If you have any information on what this might be, do we even know that would be a vaccine injured? Loud sounds in the head. Does that sound like anything to you?
That's called hyperacusis. And yeah, it can be a vaccine injury syndrome because The vaccines influence the auditory nerve. But let me say this, Malcolm. Do you know most people who actually do take the vaccines mandated for their job and then they get injured? You know what they say? They say, I'm not taking the booster. And then I'd say, well, listen, why didn't you say that to begin with? If you're now are saying you're not going to take the booster, why didn't you say that you're not taking the vaccine to begin with? Take the stand early and preserve your health.
Praise God for that statement. And the other thing I'll say to what Dr. McCullough says there, if more people push back as a whole, we will outnumber those who are pushing this onto we the people. But everybody has to push back. Collectively, that's the way to stop them in their tracks, my friends. Last one on this particular topic here is from Tristan. Varicose veins, blood clots, and the vaccine. I got the Modern shot last March. Must be the Moderna shot. Yeah, last March 21. Silly me. Have not had the booster, but I have been getting bad varicose veins with dime-sized bumps. And then the doctor asked if I had a history of blood clots. Like, not before. Are there any studies or anecdotal references looking to varicose veins and blood clots after vaccines? And it was the Moderna. They just was spelled incorrectly. Go ahead.
It's true. The vaccines are related to all forms of blood clots, and dilated external veins or varicose veins could be a sign of small blood clots externally. There needs to be ultrasound examination, D-dimer, high-sensitivity CRP, CBC done, and appropriate treatment. There may be local treatment that's needed. There may be blood thinners, forms of diuretics. But again, no shots. Don't get the first complication. The best way to stay healthy is don't take the shot.
That's it. That's exactly it. There's the message coming out of this program today. You see all the evidence and everything we're talking about right here. Okay, I want to change it up just a little bit here. And for time, because there's so much I want to fit into this program today on America Out Loud Pulse. And I hope you're enjoying, by the way, all of the shows. They are incredible. 5 p.m. Eastern time on the network. It's an encore 10 p.m. as well. Now, this is Eastern time, but you get it any time zone, anywhere in the world, on the iHeartRadio Net app or our own apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa, of course, as well. We have a beautiful media player, world class. Just click the Listen Live button back at AmericaOutloud.com. All right. I'm going to do an internal break this time. I'm not going to the outside break at this moment for time. I want to stay right here with you all and Dr. McCullough. And Dr. McCullough, I have a few questions about that are very interesting about the nasal rinse. This is a big deal, and I want to talk about it. This one's from Jonathan. Can you direct me to the povidone iodine nasal wash steps that Dr. McCullough referenced on the December 28th, 2021 episode that you and I did, Dr. McCullough? Malcolm said, let's get that in a post, and I can't find the post. Well, yes. I can answer that for Jonathan. If you just go to the front page of AmericaOutloud.com on the left sidebar partway down, that is the most shared post in the history of the network. That Povidone Iodine post we did right there. Can't miss it on COVID resources. It's on the front page. But you can also get it on the McCullough Report and Dr. Peter McCullough's page on the nav bar. If you go to those pages, you will also see that post. I mean, it's well referenced. Now, taking that further, and we have some more questions on this in just a moment here, but one of the questions I get in a lot, I mean, there are several hot items. This is one of them right here. It's the dilution. People get confused, mistaken, and I thought it was a perfect opportunity to bring in and talk about what we talked about last week. Cofix RX is a new partner of that we are trying to inform people. It's interesting because they do the dilution for you. It's the Povidone Iodine in there is the main ingredient, and there are other ingredients in there as well. It looks phenomenal from everything I see. This thing is a nasal oral wash that is already computed. You put it, when you're sick with nasal congestion, headache, fever, body aches, that's when you use this to kill the SARS-CoV-2. You don't want that getting into your respiratory tract and then your lungs. Speak about that for a moment, Dr. McCullough, from a medical doctor standpoint, the importance of these nasal rinses and this particular one at Cofix RX, please.
The povidone iodine concentration that we buy in the big bottles is 10%. It has to be diluted down to 1% or less. And even at lesser than 1%, it works fine. Cofix RX does the dilution for you. It's 1% povidone iodine. And clearly, if one just needs a product on the go, take with you to work, Cofix RX is ready-made. You simply order it and you have a bottle and you're ready to go. No mixing, no messing, no other problems. Now, hydrogen peroxide, it's just about the same thing. It comes as a 3% solution. We want to dilute it down. The simple thing is if you're working with the larger concentrations, half a teaspoon of povidone iodine, shot glass of water, 1.5 ounces, or 3/4 of a teaspoon of hydrogen peroxide, shot glass of water, again, 1.5 ounces. We made it as simple as possible. Malcolm, people were making gallons of this stuff and trying to keep it in their refrigerator. You just need a tiny bit, and Cofix RX has that ready for you. Many Americans say, listen, I'll spend a few dollars. I just want the right solution to get going.
Yeah. So friends, listen, so whatever's best for you, you do. That's the message here. We have unique products that we're just trying to help assist people with, but it's a decision you make on your end in your life. As Dr. McCullough just said, he gave you the dilution. That post is right on the front page. If you want to do the dilution yourself and make up all kinds of something, absolutely. There it is. Do it. But use the nasal rinse. I'm guessing, Dr. McCullough, this nasal rinse, or my senses anyways, it's going to, now that we've gone through this, it's going to be a real big deal in the future, as we've now learned. See, I didn't even know this Cofix RX existed, this sort of a povidone iodine mix, which is handy in the bottles that you can use on the travel or at the home. You don't have the mess. You don't have the guessing game, none of that. So it's beautifully for those of us who want something that we can just use at the moment. But I didn't even know this sort of thing existed. When you first started talking about the povidone iodine, it sounded to me like a real hassle to do all the mixing and stuff. So, but now that I see it, my eyes are pretty wide open on it. I think it's quite fascinating. But I think this is going to be a thing of the future, this whole nasal rinse wash deal, isn't it? I mean, right?
It's true. The virus isn't going away. And the povidone iodine or hydrogen peroxide or even colloidal silver, Exlear, there's a variety of different products.
Exactly. Yeah.
They kill all forms of the virus. Yeah. They kill all forms. So we don't have to worry about the next variant. Just keep the nose clean.
And isn't it superbugs, colds, flus, influenzas as well? Dr. McCullough, is that correct?
It does. It works for chronic sinusitis.
Okay, so while we're on the topic of this nasal rinse, let me get to a few other questions here. Lucas says, I heard you on a podcast talk about the prophylactic measures that are available over the counter, specifically gargling and nasal spraying with the betadine water solution. I used the nasal spray and immediately suffered a pounding headache that only subsided with ibuprofen and low-dose aspirin. I don't know if it's because I have vascular disease or because the concentration was wrong. I live in Australia and I cannot discuss alternative therapies with my doctors. Wow, sad. What do you say to Lucas?
Same thing happened with my wife, Malcolm. It's too strong and too much. So I'm telling you, make it more dilute over the sink. just gently squirt up enough to where you feel the liquid in your nose and then gently sniff it back. Don't blast it up there. My wife did it the first time with a syringe and it was like a brain freeze after you eat ice cream and she was miserable for minutes afterward. So gentle and dilute. You almost can't go too dilute on this, Malcolm, because very little of it is needed to kill the virus.
Well, but then again, okay, now let me bring it back to getting rid of the guessing game. And I, in fact, I forgot to even finish telling you about the Cofix RX. Our listeners get 20% off. That's I'm glad we just brought that up again, as I didn't realize that. But CofixRx.com/outloud. Use the outloud code there and you get 20% off. If you do 5 or more bottles, you get free shipping. That solves the problem, I would think or guess, for Lucas, that you don't have to worry about that with the pounding headaches or the problems. It just makes sense to me. That's why we have them here, CofixRx.com. Use the outloud code, 20% off there. Veronica says, I have a question, please, about the Povidine iodine. I could order the Povidine, but I found at home to have Lugol's iodine, is it? Which is 5% iodine and 10% potassium iodine for the nose washes. Would this be sufficient to use, or is there a reason why you said particularly the Povidine iodine?
You can use Lugol's iodine and either put it in dilute hydrogen peroxide or just put it in saline. It takes about 3 to 5 drops. It's far stronger in terms of iodine concentration. That's the reason why the bottle is so tiny. So just a few drops of Lugol's.
Wow. Okay. Lon and Paul say, I've been doing the nasal irrigations with the betadine or a hydrogen peroxide twice a day for several months. I also rinse with Scope mouthwash twice a day. Upon returning from a 10-day trip to the great state of Texas, I developed a sore throat for 48 hours, as well as nasal congestion. Thinking I may have COVID, I did a home test, which was negative, and then a PCR test, which was also negative. About a week later, I developed different taste sensations, which I continue to have. Some foods have a more strong taste, some are dull. I'm craving sweets, which is new for me. Could I have a lower viral load so as to not show up positive on the test through the nasal irrigations? Is that possible?
It sounds like it's possibly a missed COVID-19 infection. The gargling and nasal washes are so powerful, they can turn the PCR negative within a day or two. So this person ought to consider getting an antibody panel maybe in a few weeks. Get the comprehensive IgM and IgG antibody panel against the spike protein and nucleocapsid. The panel I use is out of Quest. It works fine.
All right. See, I learned something new with that as well there. Misty says, I am an NICU nurse and unvaccinated. I've never had COVID, never tested positive, but have antibodies, so I'm sure I've been exposed. I started taking the nose spray, Cofix RX. Is it safe to take daily? Will it affect my thyroid?
It's safe to use daily with exposure, let's say at work in the ICU. As long as the thyroid is just hypothyroidism, which is the most common cause, a person could be on Synthroid or Armour thyroid, that's fine. The only thyroid disease to worry about is a hyperfunctioning nodule or Graves' disease.
Okay. All right. Last one here on this topic is from Deborah. I read a Dr. Mercola article on the benefits of the Povidine iodine nasal irrigation and mouthwash rinse. However, at the end of it, he added this warning. Importantly, Povidine iodine solutions sold as topical skin disinfectants to treat cuts and wounds should not be used for gargling due to potentially harmful ingredients. The only kind of Povidine iodine solution I know of is sold as a skin disinfectant. Is there another kind I need to be using instead?
The povidone iodine, the 10% solution, is used for the skin. When we dilute it down to 1% or less, it's used in the eye, it's used in the nose, and the back of the mouth. And these are medicinal products. If one gargles with povidone iodine, it's perfectly safe. Simply don't swallow it.
What I want to do now is I've got some really great questions, and I really want to turn our attention now to long COVID. And there's a few things here that are very, very important. This is going to be, I think, the next, an epidemic, rather, this long COVID here, because so many people, millions and millions, have this challenge of getting over COVID in the long term. And I know because I went through it myself, and my wife went through it. Very personal story there. So let me just tell you, as an example, before I get into the questions, today is an example. I have partnered with Healthy Cell way before COVID. This is pre-COVID now, about 4 years ago. And I did it because I'm a real advocate and supporter of a healthy lifestyle. As an example, today, I took a beautiful walk this morning, early morning, nice chill in the air with my wife, and it was amazing. I mean, just great. Get outside. We walked about 3.5 miles, give you an example, okay? It's a priority. We're busy, yes, but it's a priority. That's the difference. We come back, we take Healthy Cell, we make a smoothie. These are the kinds of lifestyle choices we make, you see? And that's really the message here with Healthy Cell I want to deliver to you right now. And the Healthy Cell Microgel is what it is. The first product I want to touch on is Immune Super Boost, which is now back in stock. It's got vitamin C, vitamin D3, zinc, echinacea extract, elderberry extract. It's amazing, absolutely amazing. I take the Focus as well, both my wife and I do, because of, you know, the COVID brain fog, that sort of thing you hear a lot about. We take that. You know, the other thing, Dr. McCullough, I've been taking last week, I took it several times. It was so helpful. I was blown away, is the REM sleep. I mean, it's incredible because it gives you that extra chill in the morning to rest your body and your mind. Speak about this importance of these products with long COVID and our bodies and our immune systems, please.
It's well understood that long COVID and COVID itself influences the GI tract and interferes with the microbiome. Absorption is not normal. And the microgel technology of Healthy Cell allows better absorption of the key micronutrients and elements. This is very important. There's no doubt about long COVID disrupts sleep. Everyone states this. And we have great products that address these issues of long COVID, the immune disorder, the problem with focus and memory, and then sleep. So I think those three product lines fit great for long COVID syndrome.
Yeah, and they are incredible. I use them and I have used them right along here. So again, out loud is the code there. And our listeners always get 20% off that first order, healthycell.com/outloud, or just click any of the banner ads back at americaoutloud.com. Again, we're interested in partnering with products that are going to improve our lives. That's what we're talking about here. And that's what I enjoy being able to do here. Now, first, we'll take a real quick pause. I've got some really great questions on long COVID. We'll come back and we'll bring this all together in a big package here. You're listening to America Out Loud Pulse.
If you're like me, you'd like life to return to some kind of normal. You're burned out on the precautions, but deep down, you still want to avoid getting sick. You've heard it talked about time and again by respected medical professionals. Use a povidone iodine antiviral nasal spray. Made in the USA, Cofix RX reduces viral loads and minimizes the risk of you getting sick. Find a retailer near you or click our banner ad on AmericaOutloud.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
This is Dr. Peter McCullough. Do you know there's no other condition that I'm aware of where vitamins and supplements make such a big difference than COVID-19? We have an abundance of data that we need to be replete with a variety of micronutrients, and that includes vitamins, minerals, and other substances our bodies need. I rely on Healthy Cell Super Boost. That's Immune Super Boost. It's a gel pack that can be taken every day. I like to do it before I exercise and before I go out. It's a wonderful supplement. It gives me the Immune Super Boost that I need. Go to healthycell.com, use the promotional code OUTLOUD, and get a discount on your first order. Let's get real. Let's get loud on America Out Loud Talk Radio.
People often ask me, Malcolm, how do we fight the corruption? Robert Frost has said it best, freedom lies in being bold. Well, for six incredible years, bold is America Out Loud. Welcome to the new era in communications. America Out Loud Talk Radio.
In today's world, there's no escaping the headlines filled with warnings about emerging viruses and dangerous superbugs. Genesis is the only technology that safely and effectively obliterates harmful pathogens both in the air and on surfaces. Genesis plus HOCL neutralize these threats to your environment in just seconds. Find out more about this amazing technology at genesisfolger.com/outloud for a 15% discount. With Genesis, you'll be prepared for what's next.
Welcome back to America Out Loud Pulse. It is Malcolm Out Loud here, yours truly, and we are with Dr. Peter McCullough, and we come with you every day, the Pulse does, at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, and there's an encore at 10 p.m. I am blown away with the conversations every day, the doctors, the expertise on here. This was a great idea. I'm loving it. I'll tell you a little bit more about that a little bit later in the program. I want to get right to the questions right now about long COVID. This one's from Jenny. She said, please explain how it's better to get COVID, even if you've had long haul symptoms, than it is to get the shot. Our 26-year-old daughter was fairly sick with Delta in December and is struggling with long haul, heart racing, can't take deep breaths, losing a lot of her hair, major brain fog. Wow. She's unable to work. She feels like she should have gotten the shot. By the way, she follows Dr. McCullough's protocol to the T and follows him. What do you say to someone like that, Dr. McCullough, the trade-off, in other words?
Everything we know about long COVID syndrome, it's related to long periods of being untreated. So if one treats COVID-19 early and reduces the duration of viral replication, gets through the illness with a mild symptom set, then there's a very low or zero chance of getting long COVID. Long COVID is largely with severe patients in the hospital. Long COVID, everything we know about it, it's temporary. It may last a long time, but it's going to go away. With the vaccine, we know that once the vaccine is in the body, most of the terrible things like death, you can't get it back, obviously. And then injury to the heart, the brain, and other organs looks like it's permanent. The vaccine looks like it's a much worse alternative than getting COVID-19 and working through long COVID.
Jenny, that's a great answer right there. And again, all these questions we do, none of this is rehearsed, but I love Dr. McCullough's answer there. And I was hoping it would be along that lines, and I'm not surprised. So there's your answer. This next one's from Pam. This is from Canada, where things are pretty tough. My family is a mix of vaxxed and unvaxxed. All five of us are COVID recovered. My husband's 75, double jabbed last summer, recently got COVID while overseas, has recovered from COVID. He has no previous heart history, no lifestyle risk factor, super active, non-smoker, non-drinker, not significantly overweight at all. He takes no medications at all. I realize that heart attacks can happen. Yesterday, he suffered an STMI with a complete blockage of anterior branch of the left main coronary artery, which was repaired with three stents. My question is, do vaccine side effects and then COVID spike proteins combined ever cause actual blockages such as this in the form of clots? Or is this more likely a regular blockage that comes with men or women with age, lifestyle, family history, et cetera?
The substrate was there, meaning the cholesterol blockage was there. And then it was either the infection or the vaccine or both and the spike protein that triggered the blood clot and the ST segment elevation MI.
Okay. All right. This one is from Nakia. I'm 42, healthy, female, got COVID pretty bad. 2 weeks after recovery, developed slight shaking in hands and a little muscle weakness. It's kind of like a body tremor, really weird. Any suggestions?
We have to ride it out. I've used short-acting propranolol, 10 milligrams for the tremor. It's due to spike protein injury to some of the nerves. It should go away. My experience is it goes away. I have seen it after COVID and certainly much worse after the vaccines.
Okay. Jennifer says, I am unvaccinated and had a mild case of COVID about a month ago. I'm recovered, but my heart rate and blood pressure are now elevated. I know that you recently discussed the issue of heart rate elevation after COVID, but what about blood pressure? Is this something you're seeing after COVID infections? And can this be expected to return to baseline levels at some point? I always had a healthy BP, I know it was normal just prior to COVID last month.
Yes, we do see blood pressure elevations. Again, after severe COVID, it probably was a severe case of Delta. It may temporarily need blood pressure lowering medications. The virus actually does affect the adrenal glands of the sympathetic chain in the body, which governs blood pressures, typically elevations in heart rate and blood pressure. And temporarily, we have to use medications, most commonly beta blockers.
Okay, this one's from Kevin. My mother is currently having cardiac issues related to post-COVID syndrome. She's not vaccinated. The sonogram showed a healthy heart, but she's having sporadic heart rate and blood pressure, sometimes reaching 140 BPMs and 170 over 90 at rest. She lives in the St. Louis, Missouri area. Do you have any information that you could refer to as regarding treatment for such issues?
I'd say go to the American Association of Physicians and Surgeons, download the roster of treating doctors, or work with your own primary doctor through these issues. Again, it's going to take some internal medicine, family medicine skill to temporarily use medications, get patients through the syndrome.
All right. Tracy says, I'm a hairstylist, and I've been seeing a lot of my clients losing hair after a COVID infection, both vaxxed and unvaxxed. It starts happening, and it's noticeable usually between 1 and 3 months after recovery. Some is more severe than others. I do usually recommend the usual supplements for hair growth, B vitamins, biotin, the horsetail extract, collagen, etc. But I'm wondering if you know if there is something deeper going on here. Systemic inflammation, perhaps? Or is it just a reaction to the stress of the illness and the hair loss is temporary?
It's a direct effect of the viral infections itself. In a paper by Chertow and colleagues, the virus is found in the human body slowly replicating for weeks, even several months afterwards. And I think it's related to the hair loss. We have to ride it out. I agree with the supplement approach.
Okay. Take a moment now, if you will. Let me break into the questions now and ask you, Dr. McCullough, about these new monoclonals. Can we tell us what's going on with this? I hear there are some new ones.
Monoclonals has been a shifting sand. The only one we have available for acute treatment is by Lilly. It's called bortolibimab. It's 2cc injection. It is safe and effective. I personally think they should bring back the sotrovimab for GSK since it does cover the BA2 subvariant now. But having said that, we've got the small injection Lilly product. And then for long-term protection, almost like a vaccine, we have the EvuShield, which is tixagivimab and sixagivimab. And that's a two syringe injection taken in the arm once every 6 months. Again, safe and effective for transplant patients, those immunocompromised, those with cancers and other severe illnesses. So we have some options here for monoclonal antibodies. And again, all the studies show safe and effective.
Yeah, I was looking up the new monoclonals, and that first one you said, boy, that's like a 50-syllable word, isn't it? The what is it? Pronounce that again, the B word?
I believe it's called bortolibimab.
Yeah, that's a mouthful, man. I looked it up and seen it. I said, I'm going to let Dr. McCullough say that name there. All right. All right. Let's a few other questions here. Let's bring back here. This one's from Jeff. Does having recovered from COVID increase your risk of getting shingles or relapse of Epstein-Barr?
Both.
This one's from Laura. Is there such thing as asymptomatic spread with COVID? My brother lives with a friend who is handicapped and homebound and never leaves the house. He started losing his smell and taste and was positive on a home test. My brother is his only contact and lives in the same home. He had no symptoms whatsoever and tested negative. How is this possible?
Yeah, there's no such thing as asymptomatic spread. So chances are there were some subtle symptoms, and that's basically how it spread from one to another.
Okay. All right. Tom says, is injectable ivermectin okay to inject for COVID? If not, is it possible to get ivermectin tablets to have in stock at home in case my wife or I get sick? We're both in our 60s. I'm hearing a lot about the homemade chlorine dioxide. Is that recommended? If so, how much and how often on the outset of symptoms?
Ivermectin is prescription through your doctor. Most states now have laws in place where the doctor must prescribe it. So force your doctor to prescribe it. If you're acutely sick with COVID-19, it's available over the counter in New Hampshire. People also order them through online order pharmacies. I've never used intravenous ivermectin and so don't have any experience with it. I've never used the chlorine dioxide, although I've heard people mention it as a medicinal or disinfectant, used out in the wilderness, camping, things of this nature. But I don't have enough expertise to discuss it.
Okay. And this one here is from Tanya. Thanks for all the great work you're doing. I'm requesting Dr. McCullough's opinion on post-market and safety efficacy data for, and they list the Novavax, the Covaxin, and Medicago, is it? Is that correct? The three different ones, Dr. McCullough?
There's Novavax, Corbevax. There's some other antigen-based vaccines. We simply don't have assurances on safety. Safety reports are coming in from Australia and Europe. And the thing we think about all the antigen-based vaccines, including the Sinovac or CoronaVac vaccine, is they don't work. So you can see in China, for instance, where they use the Chinese vaccine, it's clear it doesn't work.
So again, it comes back to the earlier points and the questions we made up top the program there, friends, and that you have choices. That's why I started today's program in the way that we did. And yeah, they're difficult decisions, there's no doubt. But as we addressed, we actually presented a pretty good case today. If you listen back to this program when it goes to podcast, you'll see we presented a pretty good case of people's, their feelings, the struggles that people are having, but then these choices we have to make that in many cases are false choices. And so I think when you really listen to what we've discussed today, this may be one of the most interesting Q&As we've had to date, and we've had some great ones, but we covered a lot here when it comes to even long COVID and nasal and all of that with Dr. McCullough. Now, interestingly enough, I will tell you, as we were putting this program together, Dr. McCullough and I, with all of this here, there were some technical problems he was having coming out of Dallas where he is, and communication with our studio back and forth technically. So, you know, I just want to bring it to your attention that because of our determination, we had to do this in multiple pieces today. And I just thought it was interesting to tell you that because he kept getting thrown off the service with some of the challenges that the internet was posing as we were bringing this show together here. Interesting. I just think it's fascinating to talk about that determination. And God bless him. You know, his willingness and his determination. You know, he got back on the call just moments ago with me, and he said, you know, Malcolm, he said, you know, I'm losing my mind here, but he said, you really kept it together here. You're remarkable. You know, he was complimenting me, and yet I'm complimenting him for his persistency and determination to get the out loud truth out there. You know, I've worked with a lot of people, my friends, a lot of doctors, a lot of folks in the industry, and I mean, there's only one Dr. Peter McCullough. There's no doubt about it. Only one. And I share that with you. He's become such a dear friend and has touched my heart and my soul and the passion. I'm so grateful to have him in our lives, you know, really and truly. You know, when I was going through COVID and struggling, my wife, you know, there were times we spoke at 3-4 in the morning, and had some tough times. It was very, very difficult challenge. And it was through that and my dear friend, Dr. Henry Ely, I'm amazing people. I was really blessed to have that support mechanism around. It was tough. I mean, my wife had COVID very severely, and it was because she had that car accident. If you've listened to me previously, you probably know the story. But someone had crossed the double line and almost killed her and my son in a head-on car collision just about 5 weeks prior to contracting COVID. So her immune system was heavily compromised. Very healthy person otherwise, but that's the whole deal, is the immune system. That's why I preach so badly about healthy cell and all of these nutrients we have to have in our bodies. You know, even today, you know, my wife never took those things before, but she was healthy. But I mean, she didn't have the comorbidities, that sort of thing. But it was the car accident that crushed her immune system and really wounded her to be at the kind of the wrong place at the wrong time, I guess you might say. And then COVID invades your space and it almost took her out. We were, I mean, by the grace of God, I don't know how else to tell you. I mean, she was just a point away from being put on a ventilator. She would have been in a medical coma. And we gave her all the early treatment, which saved her life, the ivermectin, all of that. I'm here to give you this study. It's a case study now. I mean, I know what we did. I treated her at home with the blood thinners and all the ivermectin and all the regimen, McCullough's protocol, all of that. And you know, it was tough, but her oxygen levels fell too low at the end of the day. And we had to get her in the ICU for 10 days. And I remember the doctor telling me that point I will share with you that, you know, wow. He said, she's in pretty bad shape, Malcolm, extreme. And I don't know that she'll make it. Well, no, in a couple of hours, we're going to put her on a piece of equipment called, and I'll share this with you right now, the heated high flow. And as the doctor told me, it puts oxygen, a massive amount of oxygen, 60 liters of oxygen all the way, all around her body, invasively. So it doesn't invade, it's not cumbersome to the patient. And the doctor said to me, if her body reacts to that, then she'll have a fighting chance here. But if it doesn't, we'll have no choice but to put her in a medical coma in just a couple of hours. And I was beyond myself, to say the least, you know. So I know what that pain is like when we talk to people and I get these messages in. I understand what that pain is. I really do. I get it. And I understand what the value and quality of life is. But again, as I said moments ago, today we walked 3.5 miles. We took Healthy Cell. We did our smoothie, all of the things you need to be doing. So that's the quality of the lifestyle. And so when Dr. McCullough and I are looking at various products to talk about here, that's what we do. We look for these things that are going to improve our lives. So it's not just about anything. It's about the right things. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. Now, America Out Loud Pulse. Wow. I mean, it was an idea. It was an idea. And when I first brought it up to McCullough, he was like, wow, I like it. And then we put together some of the most amazing, talented communicators and expertise in healthcare related fields. So I hope you're listening and I hope you're sharing these shows, please. And I hope you get the word out there. America Out Loud Pulse. It's a beat ahead. If you go to the network, the platform, the website, AmericaOutLoud.com, on the left sidebar, you'll see a direct link to Pulse, or just go to the nav bar on the shows. You'll see it as well. America Out Loud Pulse, very easy. And you'll see Monday is Dr. Marilyn Singleton. Tuesday, Dr. Jordan Vong and Dr. Stuart Tankersley. Wednesday is Dr. Peter McCullough and myself, Malcolm Out Loud, yours truly here. Thursday, Dr. Peter Breggin and Ginger Ross Breggin, his wife. Most delightful. All these people are just incredible human beings. Friday, Dr. James Lyons Weiler. I mean, it's a very impactful resource, agenda-driven, and people that are not only intellectually in tune to what's happening, but understand the risk and the challenges that so many of us face out there. So I want to share that with you and encourage you to check out more of The Pulse, okay? America Out Loud Pulse, 5 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Friday, 10 p.m. Eastern Time is the encore. So that's how you listen, okay? iHeartRadio, our apps, or Listen Live Media Player. There are many, many ways to listen. Those links and clicks are just right back at AmericaOutLoud.com on the front right sidebar. Easy to find them, okay? Easy to find them. America Out Loud Talk Radio. And then all the shows go to America Out Loud Podcast Network. So two different venues, okay? All these shows here that we do also go to podcasts. You get them the day after on podcast, but hear them first on talk radio. Well, my fellow Americans and to my friends around the globe, it is a joy to do these programs and to bring you the Out Loud Truth. And to my dear brother, Dr. Peter McCullough, and to all of you, blessings. It's time to get involved and get loud.